Update 3. Marriage isn't about success rates, the general replied defensively. It's about self-respect and boundaries. Boundaries, I repeated thoughtfully. Like the ones you set with your first husband or the different ones you set with your second husband. My wife was shooting daggers at me, but the general was getting flustered. Every relationship is different. They certainly are. Some people learn from their mistakes, others just repeat them with new people. Mr. Johnson cleared his throat and changed the subject to sports, but the damage was done. The general used the remainder of the meal making progressively frantic attempts to regain control of the conversation, each one making her sound more bitter and vindictive. The real show came after dinner when my wife tried to implement what was obviously a planned public humiliation. As we were saying goodbye to the Johnsons, she suddenly announced, "You know, it's so refreshing to see couples who actually communicate and respect each other's boundaries." The insinuation was obvious, unlike her own husband. Mrs. Johnson looked confused. "I think all couples have to work at communication." "Oh, absolutely," my wife continued. "But some men just refuse to evolve. They think marriage means they can do whatever they want without consequences." I could see the general nodding approvingly from behind her. "That's true," I said agreeably. "Some people definitely think they can manipulate their way into getting what they want instead of just being honest about their needs." My wife's smile faltered. "Take tonight for example," I continued addressing the Johnsons directly. "My wife made these dinner plans without consulting me, which violates the boundaries she recently established about mutual decision making. But rather than acknowledge the inconsistency, she's trying to make me look like the unreasonable one." The quiet was awkward for everyone but me. "The really interesting part," I added, looking directly at the general, "is that this strategy apparently comes from someone who's proven twice that she doesn't understand how successful relationships work." Mrs. Johnson's eyes went wide. Mr. Johnson was clearly trying not to laugh. The general's face went red. "You don't know anything about my relationships. I know they ended," I said simply. "Both of them. And now you're trying to end mine using the same strategies that failed you." The evening ended abruptly after that. The ride home was silent, except for the general's muttered comments about toxic masculinity and men who can't handle strong women. As we pulled into our driveway, I turned to the general in the back seat. "I have a question for you. If your advice is so effective, why are you divorced twice and giving relationship counseling instead of being in a successful relationship yourself?" She got out of the car without answering. Once we were inside, my wife exploded. "How could you embarrass me like that?" "Embarrass you?" I laughed. "You brought your divorce consultant to dinner specifically to gang up on me in public, and you're worried about embarrassment? She's my friend, she's your puppet master, and tonight, everyone saw the strings." The general left without saying goodbye, but not before I heard her tell my wife, "He's more resistant than we thought. You might need to consider more serious measures." More serious measures. Now, we were getting somewhere. After the general left, my wife tried to salvage the evening with another sudden shift in tactics. "Maybe we can talk about what happened tonight. I think there were some misunderstandings." "No misunderstandings," I said, "just a failed attempt at public manipulation. Your friend's strategy worked great in her imagination, but reality turned out to be a little more complicated." She stared at me like she was seeing me for the first time. "Here's what's going to happen," I continued. "You can keep following advice from someone who's batting zero in the marriage department, or you can start having honest conversations with your actual husband, but these amateur psychology experiments stop now." The war was escalating exactly as I predicted, and her general was running out of battle plans. Tuesday morning delivered the definitive proof I'd been waiting for. My wife left for work early, claiming an important meeting, but her rushed departure had left evidence scattered around the house like breadcrumbs leading to the truth. On her nightstand sat a book I'd never seen before, Reclaiming Your Power, A Woman's Guide to Relationship Dynamics. Curious title for someone who claimed to be working on mutual respect and healthy boundaries. I flipped through it casually, page after page of highlighted passages, margin notes, and sticky tabs marking specific strategy. Chapter titles like Breaking Down Male Resistance, The Strategic Use of Emotional Distance, and Making Him Compete for Your Attention informed me everything I needed to know about her recent education. But the true prize was the notebook tucked between the pages. Her handwriting filled dozens of pages with detailed observations, strategy notes, and what could only be described as a manipulation manual customized specifically for me. Week 1, tried boundary conversation. He stayed too calm, need more direct approach. Week 2, emotional withdrawal not effective. He seems happier when I'm distant. Ask general about this. Week 3, public embarrassment backfired. He turned it around somehow. Maybe need to document his reactions for evidence. Evidence. That term sent a chill down my spine. I kept reading. The entries became more detailed, more calculated. She was tracking my responses like a scientist studying lab behavior, noting which approaches produced which reactions, adjusting her methodology based on results. Day 12. Tried scheduling intimacy. He refused without arguing, concerning lack of emotional investment. Day 15. Started questioning his spending. Got defensive reaction finally. Might be exploitable weakness. Day 18. General says documentation important for later. Started taking photos when he looks angry or dismissive. I set the notebook down and thought about recent weeks. All those times she'd had her phone out during our conversations, claiming to check messages. She'd been building a case file. I captured images of every page of her notebook with my own phone, then carefully replaced everything exactly as I'd found it. If she was documenting me, turnabout was fair play. That evening, she came home later than usual, bringing takeout and an unusually cheerful attitude. I thought we could have a nice quiet dinner and maybe talk about how we're doing. Sure, I said, accepting the food while mentally cataloging this sudden mood shift. According to her notebook, positive reinforcement was supposed to follow periods of conflict to create emotional dependency. Over dinner, she steered the conversation toward our relationship challenges, asking leading questions designed to get me to admit fault or express insecurity. Every response I gave was clearly being evaluated against some internal checklist. Do you think we're growing apart? She asked, her tone carefully concerned. Why do you ask? I countered. I just feel like you're not as emotionally available as you used to be. Like you're pulling away from intimacy. I almost laughed. She'd withdrawn intimacy as a manipulation tactic, and now she was trying to make me feel guilty about not chasing after it. That's interesting, I said. What makes you think I'm the one pulling away? The question caught her off guard. According to her manual, I was supposed to either get defensive or start apologizing and trying to reconnect.